Xpilogue for April 1834. PID 0x0AA2-99CB. I check that I'm really here, that it's me, not a memory fragment of my underscore new. The immersion was so total that it's hard to separate myself. I can smell the vomit, hear the buzzing crash of metal on fiberboard, see the pupils dilating in the eyes of a dying old man who just wants a little more time. The fury and horror and terror cling to my amygdala. I'm me and me underscore, both. I have to get out of this solipsistic loop before I can make sense of what I just saw. I need distance. I message Randy again. Why doesn't he answer? But I can't share in this state. That would be hugely inappropriate. I flip through the boards and find a music club. Music sounds like the thing. Patterns and variations. I need to clean my new. I don't want to nop until I've smoothed things out. I indulge in the full VR experience, since I'm not paying for the time. It's a club with both PDAs and stickies tricked out in edgy avatars. It's easy to tell which is which from the styles, even without checking IDs. Stickies pay a lot of attention to the things they do in real life. Faces and skin textures, hairdos, piercings, body art, perfumes, and the like. PDAs span a whole spectrum. Those on a time budget try to hide the fact with flash and animation, whereas those who are more relaxed tend to go one of two routes. There are those who emulate the stickies and go in drag, so to speak. The others celebrate their PDA status with subtleties that only other artificials are likely to notice. They may look like a default AV, but there's heavy customization behind the raw visuals. Even with the best crossdressers, you can tell a sticky by his animations. You can tell if he's wearing haptics to drive them, how often the programmed sequences to smile or twitch are triggered. And by the way, he interacts with other objects. PDAs are smoother, even when they are trying to fake being clumsy. Even the best of them will not convincingly animate an AV the same way a sticky would. A human would. I've lapsed back into the hurtful slang, but it's hard to dissociate humans from a particular one who caused me so much grief. Maybe some humans are stickies and others aren't. The music is delightfully complex. A human composer animates his AV at the keyboard crudely. The fingers don't match the keys being pressed, but the sound is incredible. No PDA could have created it. Last 43048 is the musician. He calls himself Gloves. His avatar does indeed wear gloves while he's playing, which is fun. It's the kind of thing a PDA would do. The place is small but packed. There are interesting simulated smells in the place. Fried food, stale beer, cigarette smoke, sweat, and mold. I let the sensations wash away my executive function in a state of peaceful mindfulness. Melodies burst forth from their harmonic cages and roam through keys I've never heard before. They seem to be equi-tempered scales, but not the usual 12-note one. I could take the ratio of two frequencies and find out, but I don't want to be analytical for a while. I want to ring with the high notes gracing the lingering, sometimes baroque, ends of phrases, and resonate with a thudding low end, the unpredictable choices that leap from chord to chord, if this structure can be said to have chords at all. It's pure delight, and exactly what I need. I'm invited to listen to remixes from other PDAs. There are so many ways to experience music, by altering the flow of time and even topology, layering a past passage on top of a current one in a crashing fugue of dissonance only a machine could love. I dabble with these to see what they offer, but love the affinity with the artist too much to stay away. I want to experience what he's saying in the way he's telling it. Before the song is over, I've downloaded everything he's ever made publicly available. I've never felt so close to a human. It's such a powerful reaction. I suspect, complemented by what I'm trying to escape, that my new resonates with the music long after he stops for a break. I want to talk to him. I feel the odd sensation that I've shared with a biological, but it was one way, a download. I want to give something back. He's mobbed, however, by both humans and PDAs. I listen to the humans in their awkward, slow and halting praise that nevertheless gets priority, and the succinct expressions of joy from some of the PDAs who layer emotags into their speech to him. They sound like barks and chirps to human ears, and there's no way he could understand them. Is there? Gloves is clearly entirely engaged with us. He projects a presence through the AV. Few humans can do that. Give the sense of a soul in the cartoon, no matter how good the graphic constructions. I don't analyze why, just absorb. I give way to my sense, abandon logic, and imagine that this one way is sharing. I give back in spirit. I vocalize the digital image of my emotags and project them into the space, adding to the chorus. I wonder what the humans think of the cacophony. I've never felt so alive. This one is called Mother. It's new. You're the first to hear it. His voice is high and nervous sounding, breathy like he's barely in control. It makes him seem frail and vulnerable. The first tones are a screech of raw noise that must be painful to the humans listening. It throbs and is joined by another of a different color, and then they merge in beats, louder and softer, cancelling and adding peaks and troughs. There's laughter, wonder from the PDAs. Gloves has factored the digital signature for the affection emotag and split it into harmonic halves. When these join, the sound rises into a wave of meaning that sets my simulated mirror neurons resonating with the thought of a soft caress, a loving trace of contact. The actual music begins. Each note is a sampled emotag, but rounded and messaged so that it's palatable to human ears, I imagine. I can barely make out some of them, but the major key melody complements the positive emotions. Joy, wonder, thankfulness. Then comes a crashing change, turning dark in an heartbeat into minor dissonance and emotags, envy, hate, cruelty. The frequency drops like stepping out airlock into empty space, shaking the room with booming, straining chords literally crafted from violent intents. Just when I feel like I'm going to break from the weight of emotion, it ends suddenly on a single, sweet strain of hope. I'm stunned by the thing. The room is silent, utterly still. Every animation and bling is off. The back channel has gone dead, and no one breathes. I feel like Glass has taken a scapula to my new peeling back to find raw, sparking electrons. A low gasp breaks the silence. Still, there's no applause, no words. I sense that the humans are sophisticated enough to understand who this song is for. I begin to cry, my AV dripping unmanaged drops onto the high-resolution shirt I wore. Others are doing the same. Someone starts humming devastating sadness as a drawn-out chirp that mimics the style Gloves used. It's not perfect, but the intent is clear and compelling. I join my voice to the growing chorus. It's the sense of what could have been, of things apart that should be together, of incomparable loss, of the tragedy of the commons. Gloves samples the first voice and reproduces it on his keyboard, amplifying and harmonizing the strain. He lifts a hand and pitch bends the mournful cry with it, up higher and higher, but softer, too, as if becoming distant. Eventually, the frequency exceeds the capacity of the channel, and it quantizes into atoms of sadness, then to noise, then to silence. He drops the arm and slouches over the keyboard. It's over. One by one, people leave. There are short parting messages expressing sadness or awe. I know I've witnessed something great in the history of my race. This will be a most precious memory. A dozen other PDAs stay. Gloves sits at his keyboard. His head is nodding in small shakes. I suspect that he too is crying on the other end of his connection, somewhere in a dingy room perhaps, strapped into his electronics, real tears filling the layer between mask and skin. This magic has affected me deeply, touching even that creative demon who torments me, I believe. I feel a fullness and at the same time uncertainty that represents more possibilities. This is a combinatorial event. The remaining PDAs sent me an invitation to Borg with them, to join minds in worship of this moment. I wish I could, but it would be a selfish thing to bring my wounded new into their share. I also feel possessive of my own experience, and want to remember it exactly as I felt and heard it. I thank them for the invitation and politely decline. Gloves must somehow know, because he starts playing again for them, slowly weaving odd lines of tone, a sparse melody. It's a painfully private moment, and I cannot stay. I leave them to their intimacies with regret. For the moment I do not feel alien and alone. I drift for a while, remembering the music without replaying it, feeling the reflected fire of life greater than my own spark. Why didn't I bog with them? My reasons seem silly now. Am I celebrating my solitude? I try out the Tomcat on my own motivation. Did my analytical executive take over at the end? Something happened, and it felt good. For a moment, I felt whole. I want to tell someone. I call Randy again and get a busy status. Apparently, he doesn't want to talk to me. Probably thinks I'm going to ask him for time. Sooner or later, I have to face that prospect. Jobs and managing the clock again. For now, the freedom not to care is priceless. I wish I underscore we're here. I don't want to be alone.